Have you ever wondered what the Bible says about having a healthy marriage relationship as a Christian? It's a valid question to answer, and the reason is that at least here in the United States, the divorce rate among born-again Christians has exceeded the divorce rate of non-Christians, particularly people who do not believe. That's a very disturbing statistic, and it implies that there is a change in the social attitudes of society. Well, we can surmise what that would be because of the fact that people, as lawlessness increases, become more and more self-protective, more and more self-centered, more and more self-willed, even to the point now where many people will not even get married unless they go to an attorney first and have the attorney write up what is called a prenuptial agreement, meaning to say that if the marriage does not go well, that each party will go their separate ways with no obligations financially or otherwise to each other or as far as material things are concerned. But when you really think about it, why would you have a prenuptial agreement to begin with if it weren't for the fact that you're not sure that the marriage will work? If you're not sure that the marriage will work, then there's a problem there with trust, isn't there? So you have to re-examine really where you're at spiritually. Why? Because marriage is a covenant, and a covenant is based on trust. And trust is what the scripture refers to as faith. Faith is trust on Christ. But if we have faith in our spouse or our would-be spouse, the one we're going to marry, then we would see that we have to exercise trust also for a marriage covenant. And that is probably one of the reasons why so many marriages do not last in these end times. Old Testament scripture says, "He who finds a wife finds a good woman and favor with God." So there are reasons to desire marriage, and the main reason, of course, is that it is ordained by God. And in Genesis we read, "Male and female, he made them." What are the standards then? How do we establish a loving Christian relationship that will last and last and last? Good question, isn't it? Well, let's look at it from the viewpoint of covenant. In a marriage covenant, each party has to be able to say, in a Christian marriage covenant, "My life is centered in Christ. I choose to live it with you and for you." And the other spouse has to be willing to say the same thing to his or her partner. And then both have to be able to stand on it and walk in it. "My life is centered in Christ. I choose to live it with you and for you." Do you notice in those words that what the words are talking about is servanthood? Why is that important? The reason is because servanthood is the example that Christ gives us, not only in our faith walk, but in our marriage relationships and our relationships with children, also in family. Christ was the example to us of a servant. And that's best illustrated if you read the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. In other words, what we're saying is that love is not selfish. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8, we read, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away." It continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. "Because of the temptation to sexual morality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband." 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. In the Old Testament, early on in particular, people were allowed to have more than one wife. But when something changes from Old Testament to New Testament, the New Testament tells you. In Matthew 19, verse 6, regarding union in marriage. Now you say, "Oh, but wait a minute, Bern. I think that that's wrong, because Jesus said in the New Testament scripture, in the Gospel of Matthew, that divorce was not permitted except for adultery or fornication, some of your Bibles say. Well, he also said, "But from the beginning these things were not so, but Moses granted a writ of divorce because of your hard-heartedness." So although we see divorce even in the church today because of these scriptural conditions permitted in the New Testament scripture, what Jesus was saying is that Father God takes a very dim view of it. We see the operation of grace there, don't we? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, we read, "Do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord, what agreement has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever?" Now, this is talking about personal, intimate relationships, such as in marriage. It is not talking about interpersonal relationships of a non-committed nature. So we're warned here not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Why? A person who is a born-again Christian, water baptized and spirit filled, has the kingdom of God opened up to their heart, mind, soul, and spirit. An unbeliever, even though being God's creation, does not yet have that, because those things are opened to people by receiving Christ. It isn't that God wants to deprive them of it. It's that they just are not there yet and have not made the decision to Christ, even if the Father has been calling them. So what is the point? The point is that their ways of understanding and their thinking will be different from each other. Well, if that's true, it's hard to agree, isn't it? So we discover that when people are unevenly yoked or united to each other, a believer with an unbeliever, that those types of marriages are very stormy in general. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, we see a very interesting scripture regarding that. Because some people find themselves married, a believer with an unbeliever, and discover what the Word of God says about it afterward, and didn't realize that at the time they were going to marry, that the scripture warned against it. They have to get their spiritual relationship in line and settled first. So many times, one spouse being enthralled with the other will say, well, I'm going to marry him anyway because I know that I can persuade them to become Christian after we get married, and we can settle that question at that time. No, that doesn't work. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father call him. They have to be called by the Father. So in those circumstances, if you're in that type of a relationship, the first thing you have to pray intensely for is for the Father to call them to Jesus, to Christ. And after that happens, and they get water baptized and Holy Spirit baptized, then you can proceed with a marriage. You see, that's the biblical way. But what happens when you're caught up in a situation where you did not have that kind of a knowledge, and you discovered these things afterwards, and you are now in a relationship in which your spouse is an unbeliever? Well, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 14 and 15 says, an unbelieving husband is sanctified by a believing wife, and an unbelieving wife is sanctified by a believing husband. And because of this, your children are holy. That's the grace of God. In verse 15, it goes on to say, but if an unbelieving husband, or an unbelieving wife for that matter, desire to leave, let them leave. It goes on to say that the person who has been abandoned is not responsible in God's eyes. They are free to remarry, in other words. That's the grace of God also, isn't it? So God makes a way. If we're unevenly yoked, he tells us what has to be done. You have to pray for the Father to call the unbelieving spouse to the Lord Christ Jesus. If the unbelieving spouse wants to leave, the scripture says, let them leave. But where two people are committed, my life is centered in Christ, I choose to live it with you and for you. We read in Ephesians 5:21-33, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But here's some final last thoughts. How do we show that love for each other that keeps that marriage relationship going and healthy? We pray together. We stay together. We serve each other, as we said earlier. My life is centered in Christ. I choose to live it with you and for you. Servanthood is the model that Christ gives us. And when we do that, it doesn't mean that our marriage is going to be perfect and without problems or flaws. No, marriages have to be worked at. But even if the road is bumpy, it can be smoothed out if you will remember three 3-word sentences that will nurture and water your marriage. Things go wrong. First thing you have to be able to say to your spouse is, I am wrong. 3 words, first sentence, I am wrong. Second sentence, 3 words, please forgive me. Third sentence, 3 words, I love you. Reaffirm them. You will have a healthy, lasting marriage, and God will bless it. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by me. There are not many ways to heaven or the afterlife. There is only one way. Paul the Apostle said, there is no other name under heaven by which one may be saved. And what does he mean by saved? Saved from self, sin, or circumstances. Jesus said, unless you come to know who I am, you will surely perish in your sin. The nice thing about it is he will reveal himself to you as a living person. No religion can do that. Only the Christian faith, which is not a religion, it's a confession on a person, and his name is Christ Jesus, the Son manifestation of the Father. Are you ready? Pray this prayer aloud now, won't you, being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.